think of yourself as a generous person? Most of us would like to think we are, but do we know why we're generous? Hi, I'm Rob West. Jesus told us that it's better to give than to receive, and Christians as a group are very generous people. Today we'll hear from Chris Gabriel about why we're generous and how to be more so. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Chris Gabriel is the author of Wise Generosity, a guide to purposeful and productive living and giving. Chris spoke to financial professionals recently at the Kingdom Advisors Conference in Orlando, but his keen insights on why and how we're generous apply to all of us.
There's a very simple explanation for why we behave this way and why human beings have a drive to behave this way. God. God made us this way. And so all roads of generosity, all conversations about generosity ultimately lead to God. Maybe not immediately, maybe not initially. It's not the first thing that comes up in the conversation. But if you're having an opportunity to share your own story about giving and priority and purpose and meaning and money, it's going to be ultimately a more satisfying answer. There's something about generosity and conversations about generosity that are extraordinarily powerful. And I don't think that's by accident. Who's the most generous person who ever lived? Jesus. There's a generosity mindset also that is the counterbalancing force to what we see in the wider world, and what we might ourselves fight against and what our clients certainly fight against is that prevalent scarcity mindset that says whatever you have, it's not enough. It's one of the biggest lies that the enemy hands to us in our lives. The contrast to that is God's abundant economy, God's mentality of limitless opportunity. And how do we access that most directly in our work and in our lives? Through our giving and our generosity. It's the way in which we engage with others, and not just with money, across all dimensions of our lives. And that's what's really important. This translation of Proverbs 11:24 is one of my favorites. Life gives to the giver and takes from the taker. And isn't that the truth? And why is that? Because that's how God made us. That's how God wants us to live. That's how we pursue the kingdom. But I do want to give you two tools that are part of this toolkit that may help you engage in conversations about giving in ways that help unlock the mystery of it. And really, the whole point of this process is to do two things. It's got a positive purpose and a negative purpose. The negative purpose is to remove the barriers to giving that keep people from giving at all or giving as much or in the way that they should. And what are those barriers? It's just this sense of identity when it comes down to it. People don't see themselves as generous. They look out into the wider world and they see other people who they label as generous and say, oh, that's not me. So I guess I'm not generous. The positive reason for giving is affirmative. It's illuminating and presenting opportunities to serve God and to serve others through giving. And so this whole system, this process is designed with those purposes in mind. We're going to look at two things in particular. The first are the three expressions of generosity: kindness, charity, and philanthropy. So kindness is the most common form of generosity. It's everywhere. I'd argue it's most of what makes life meaningful and enjoyable comes from kindness, simple human kindness. Would there be more of it in our lives than in the world? I'm going to focus more on charity and philanthropy because those relate more to our work as advisors. Those terms are sometimes used interchangeably. I suggest that they are distinct. Charity and philanthropy are two different approaches to giving, each of which is meaningful and relevant and appropriate, but each of which is going to resonate differently with different people. So one of removing the barriers to giving is to help you and your clients appreciate which you are. Are you more charitable or more philanthropic? Charity essentially is people helping. You are engaged in giving in a way that directly benefits the lives of others, either individually or in a group. Philanthropy is problem solving. It's looking at a wider problem or issue in society or in the community and figuring out what needs to be done in order to address that problem. Which is better? Trick question. They're both really important and good. So we're going to see where you all are thinking on that topic. With that idea, are you more charitable or more philanthropic? Are you more interested in helping people, really tangibly getting involved in giving situations in which you're going to be seeing firsthand the benefit of the giving that you do? It's going to be more face-to-face, maybe more one-on-one, a little bit more emotionally connected. Or are you more about what's wrong in the world and what can I do to fix it? How can I be involved in solutions to bigger problems?
That's author Chris Gabriel. You can find out more about Chris at wisegenerosity.com. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What does the Holy Spirit do? According to God's Word, the Spirit gives life, equips people for service. He meets us in our most vulnerable moments, which we read about in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Apostle Paul writes, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us." So though we may not always be aware of it happening, the Holy Spirit is always working, often quietly behind the scenes. The Spirit is praying for us, strengthening us in seasons of difficulty, and that's good news. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal divine force. He cares for you. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
After Jesus returns and the Battle of Armageddon is over, what will be next on God's prophetic timeline? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress shares what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ, the millennial kingdom, and the great white throne judgment. Join us for the series Perfect Ending, all this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today. We want to help you apply a biblical worldview to your financial decisions and choices, but also help you make really practical decisions with whatever you're dealing with today, whether it's your lifestyle, your debt repayment, maybe it's your short or long-term savings, or your giving strategy. Let's head to Connecticut to begin today. Hi, Bella. Thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. I like your advice and wisdom. Okay. I'm calling. I have a question. So I recently graduated from college, and I have a better job now. But with a better job, I needed a more reliable car, so I got the car. I still owe the car. I owe all of it, like $16,000. I'm making monthly payments, and then I have my college loans that are, you know, the payments are coming in. I work for a nonprofit organization, so those payments have gone down to $16 a month, and I've been educated that as long as I stay with the nonprofit, as long as I stay with my job for the next 10 years, they'll be able to forgive the loan. And my question was, I have so that, you know, the extra $500 that I had to pay for the school loan, I wanted to ask, should I use those $500 to pay off the vehicle quicker and get rid of those $500? Get rid of like that interest, or should I invest? Should I invest them in possibly renting a parking lot so that I could provide my dog training services that I did before I graduated from school?
Yeah, very good. And so you believe that you will be covered under loan forgiveness. Would that be the public service loan forgiveness program or something else?
Public loan forgiveness.
Okay. Yeah. And if you're on track for that, have you called the Department of Education and just gone over your specific situation? And has somebody confirmed to you that you do qualify just based on the work that you're doing and so forth?
Yes, at least I called the Mohila. That's the loan company that I don't know if there's another number that I should call.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. I would just make sure, because there is some fine print related to the public service loan forgiveness, and I just want to make sure that you are correct, that you will qualify as long as you make those 120 payments, 10 monthly payments or over 10 years on time. But if you meet the requirements and you know you're on track for that, then I would just continue making the scheduled monthly payment. I think this is different than, for instance, the Biden administration, what they're doing to forgive student loan debt more broadly. This is a very specific program to incentivize people in the public or private sector to work in a very specific market segment, and they're willing to offer loan forgiveness in exchange for you doing that. And so if you qualify for that, I'd say take full advantage of it. And if that's the case, then I would take this extra income that you have and pay down the car. Let's accelerate that payoff as quickly as you can. That's going to save you interest. And as soon as you get that paid off, you're going to be able to recapture that monthly payment in your spending plan for your other goals and priorities, whether that be additional giving or continuing to build up your savings, or maybe putting that aside, you know, for investment, or maybe investing back in your small business for additional equipment or marketing or whatever that might be. So I think I would just pay the scheduled monthly payments on the loan forgiveness once you verify that, yep, I'm on track and I do qualify, and then accelerate the car with that surplus. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Rob, for your wisdom.
You are welcome, Bella. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Ellen. How can I help?
I am working on opening up a new Roth IRA through my school system. I can't remember it. It's like a 457 or something like that. It's comparable to a 403B. But the question is, she said there's like a new feature, I think, that you can choose to be protected with certain percentages from drops in the market. So I think that one of the choices was like, if it's like a 40-60 maybe. So like I would be protected from drops unless it went below 40%, unless it went less than 40% or greater than 40% drop. And then, but then I couldn't get gains if it rose over 60%. And then there was another option where it was like the gains was if it went over 115%, and then if it dropped more than, it was either 40 or 60%, then you'll be protected from that. So,
yeah.
And I'm wondering, I mean, that sounds like a good idea to me. I didn't know which one would be the better choice or if it's even a good idea.
Yeah, it's a great question, Ellen. And here's what I would say. First of all, the 457, you're right, is the government plan similar to a 401k in the private sector or a 403b in the not-for-profit space. So they all basically act the same. And there is both a traditional and a Roth variety of those. And I like the Roth, especially if you're younger and you've got, you know, 20, 30 years for this money to continue to grow before retirement. What you're describing sounds more of like an insurance product, maybe a retirement annuity of some kind. The only challenge I hear in that, I mean, I understand why you'd be attracted to the downside protection, is that, you know, when you look at the historical data and you look at the average returns that people get, you know, you might hear it cited that the S&P 500, the 500 largest companies, that index of the S&P 500 over the last 100 plus years has averaged like 9% a year. But that factors in the highest highs and the lowest lows. I mean, that would include, you know, the 1927. That would include 1987, the stock market crash. That would include the dot-com bubble bursting in 99-2000. It would include the financial crisis of 07-08. But it would also include those kind of boom years, if you will, where we had some incredible growth in the stock market. And my experience is when you try to protect on the downside and you give up the upside, it's the upside in those years where it really went up significantly that gets you up into those higher average annual returns. And if you take that off the table in exchange for the downside protection, yes, you're limiting your risk, but the data will say that the long-term annual growth potential is going to be minimized. And I think if time is on your side, for instance, what age are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 55.
Okay, so you're 55. So, you know, if you're in good health, we need this money to last, if the Lord tarries, until age 95, probably. You know, people are living longer these days, so you might have four decades for this money to grow. Now, I would say that you should get more conservative over time as you get closer to retirement. You know, once you're 60, you probably want to be thinking in terms of having a 50-50 portfolio, 50% stocks, 50% bonds, and then as you, you know, 70, you flip that 40-70, 40 stocks, 70 bonds. So you get more conservative over time, but you still take a long-term perspective. And my preference is to go that approach rather than trying to protect on the downside in exchange for giving up the upside. At the end of the day, Ellen, you're the steward. You need to pray about it, and I'll support you in whatever decision you make. That's just my take on it. I hope that helps. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we provide a hopeful, encouraging, biblical message of financial decision making. You know, it's all about looking through the lens of Scripture, holding what God has entrusted to us loosely so we can give generously. I would submit that's the primary purpose for which God has entrusted resources to us, clearly to provide for ourselves and our families. But I think so often we get stuck in an endless list of needs and wants, never getting beyond that to the opportunity to serve those on our path and be generous, supporting the work of the Lord. Think about that today as you consider your role as a steward in managing God's money. Let's head back to the phones to Topeka, Kansas. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Steve here. I drive a charter bus, and I'm just wondering what would happen if I got into an accident, as so to speak. I know my bus company would be provided for a situation like that, but can they come personally after me because all my home and everything's all paid off? I don't owe anything on anything, and I don't want to have an accident and then be in a lawsuit for, you know, they can always find negligence in anything. Yeah. They could say, oh, well, you was 2 miles over the speed limit, and therefore you was speeding. So my question is, what type of insurance or how could I be covered for something like this?
Yeah, I would definitely look into this. This is where an umbrella policy comes in. Although, because you're talking about a situation where you're actually on the job, you just need to make sure that it is, in fact, going to cover you. Because to your point, they can absolutely go after the bus company first, which they would, because you're acting in an official capacity as an employee or an independent contractor working on behalf of the bus company. But assuming they find negligence, and you're right, anybody can claim anything, and the court system and jury may go along with it. Now, all of a sudden, you could be sued personally. And I'm not an attorney, so you need to get legal counsel. But this is where an umbrella policy comes in, where it can cover you and make sure that your assets are protected. Now, you'll also want to get with your insurance agent just to make sure that they understand that you're looking for this to cover you personally beyond what might be paid for from your employer, and make sure that that doesn't disqualify you from being able to collect on this policy if your personal assets are attached under a lawsuit, because the last thing you'd want is to think that you're covered and that you know that, okay, if they get beyond the, you know, my employer and they find negligence and they come after me, you know, that this umbrella policy will actually pay out. Now, assuming you confirm all of that with the insurance agent and an attorney, I would say it's a very cost-effective way to protect yourself. The average cost of a million-dollar umbrella policy is $383, and you are talking about another $75 a year for every additional $1 million in coverage, and you'll probably want quite a bit, because if there was some sort of accident, obviously it could exceed pretty quickly the limits of the policy that that your employer has. So I would definitely take this next step. It's certainly something worth looking into. Again, it's very cost effective, but you need to do your homework given the situation that you're in to make sure that the fine print isn't going to take away, you know, what you're expecting to get in the way of coverage. Does that make sense, though?
It does. It does. Yeah. And I have looked into it, and I've really never had anybody can answer my question on that. I've even talked to my employer, you know, so I it's kind of one of those things that I put on the back burner and forget about it. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, it may happen. So,
yeah. Well, a great place to start is with whoever handles your property and casualty currently. So whoever has your homeowner's policy and or your auto insurance coverage, you know, that's the way I've done it. I've just added it on to that bundled policy for me personally as an umbrella policy. And I'd get your agent on the line and just say, listen, you know what my line of work is. And I want to make sure that if I'm sued personally beyond the limits of my own coverage and my employer's coverage, will this actually provide the coverage I'm looking for my personal assets if I'm acting in a work-related capacity? And they'll be able to answer that question one way or the other. And I would do that correspondence in writing.
Another question, quick question, if you be so kind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is my wife and I own our home together. So I would be the one at fault. Could they take our home from us, even though she wasn't involved?
Yeah, I mean, generally your home is protected, from a lawsuit, especially where this is a marital property. But again, this would, at the end of the day, be a legal question that I would talk to an estate planning attorney about. And that's where having sufficient liability coverage is really an important thing, because, you know, these expenses can run up so significantly, and we certainly want to pray that we're never in a situation like that, but we know that they do happen, and it can quickly exceed the limits of a basic homeowner's or auto insurance policy. So, you know, could they take you and your wife's home out from under you? Probably not, but at the end of the day, that's going to be a question you'd want to talk to an attorney about. Listen, it's a good thing to be thinking about, Steve, so I'm glad you called, and I would really encourage you to take the next step and explore this a bit further. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. Let's go to Chicago. Hi, Ashley, go right ahead.
Hi, how's it going, Rob?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Good. Unfortunately, I am going through the process of divorce with my husband, and I have a 3-year-old. And pretty much, you know, I'm just kind of entering unknown waters and just time and place in my life where it's very unknown of what to do. We had plans to buy a house. We had plans to just do, you know, some great things in our future. But unfortunately, that's not where, you know, we're at anymore now. And so, I'm just thinking a bunch of things. Fortunately, I paid off my car. And so it's just more so like thinking about either going back to school or just getting a job so I can get back on my feet, because my lease is up in August. And then after August, I don't know necessarily what my financial, you know.
Well, let's do this, Ashley. I have a couple of questions for you. I've got to take a break, but I want to get into those right around the corner and then give you my thoughts. So stay right there. We'll talk a bit more. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Here's a chance for a trip full of great memories with AFA at the Ark. Join Wesley Wildman and Tony Battagliano for a special trip to the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum October 31st through November 2nd. Enjoy tours, activities, and special presentations, and join a panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. Space is limited, so visit afa.net/events and click AFA at the Ark to find out more and register. That's afa.net/events and click AFA at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, help you make decisions in light of God's Word as you're a steward of God's resources. Before the break, we were talking to Ashley in Chicago. She's in the midst of getting a divorce. Her lease is up on her apartment in August, and she's going to be a single mom with a three-year-old child. She's just wondering, kind of, how do I get my financial footing under me, and what are the best next decisions to make? And Ashley, I'm so sorry to hear about what you're in the middle of. Where are you at with regard to the divorce? Has that been finalized?
It hasn't been finalized. We're at the very beginning process of the divorce. So, haven't had like a court appearance or anything yet.
Okay.
So we're at the very beginning of the process. Yeah.
I see. And do you have a sense of what assets you'll have available to you and whether there will be any sort of payment being made to you from your former husband?
We just have an agreement. We do have an agreement for after August, him continuing to pay for most of the rent until if I renew the lease, and then he just gives me half and then I start to pay the other half. That's more so like a verbal agreement, but, you know, I don't know through like legally what I would be getting from him. In that way, in terms of, I know there's a couple different things. There's like child support, alimony. So I don't necessarily know what route I'm going to, you know, end up going, taking. Again, it's just very new to me. So, I'm kind of just entering that, that part of my life right now where I just have to figure those things out.
No, I certainly understand. Yeah, so there's going to be an alimony payment. There'll also be some child support, and then there'll be the division of the assets, and a lot of that comes down to the state you're in and whether that's divided equally or whether it's not, and all of that will be a part, ultimately, of the divorce decree. Well, listen, here's what I'd like to do, because I think we need to take this in two pieces. The first piece is, what are those decisions you need to make immediately just to keep the bills paid and keep, you know, you moving in the right direction. And then there's kind of the new reality of, okay, what will I be receiving every month in terms of alimony and child support, and what assets will I have available to me? And then once we know what that's going to look like, if that's where this ends up, then, you know, obviously you can build a plan around this. But I would love for you to have somebody that's a godly sounding board that's just kind of journeying with you in this process. And so if you'd be open to that, what I'd like to do is provide you with a certified Christian financial counselor. This would be somebody who's been trained to work with folks like you in a situation where you're working on your spending plan, you're looking at assets and liabilities, thinking about the best way just to structure your finances, again, in the near term, and then longer term, once some of these question marks have been resolved about the various income sources you'll have, and then the assets that will be available to you, also what to do about your housing beyond August. Would you be open to working with somebody in that regard?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Sure.
Awesome. And we'll cover the cost of that for you, Ashley, just as our gift to you. And so what I'd like to do is have you hold on the line. We'll get your information. We'll get a certified Christian financial counselor in touch with you. It won't cost you anything. And, you know, they'll work with you over probably a weekly meeting for 6 weeks or so, just to try to get all these pieces in place and get you on a plan moving forward. Do you have a good family support structure with your family and or your church family?
I do, yes. So okay, I really appreciate that. Thank you, Robin. I fortunately I do have a pretty good support system right now. And church as well. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Well, listen, we'll certainly be praying for you. I'll ask our faith and finance community to do the same. And you stay on the line. We'll get somebody in touch with you. Thank you for your call today. And if we can serve you further, don't hesitate to reach out. Let's go to Knoxville. Hi, GW. How can I help?
Yes, thanks. Appreciate that. And appreciate the ministry that you have.
Well, thank you very much.
The question will be about annuity. So a quick background is I'm going to I turn 65 next month. I can retire. I'll have a pension coming 1st of July. And I'm hoping that it'll be, you know, it won't be great, but it'll be good enough. I'm going to try to put off my Social Security for a few years. I'm sure that you said it grows like 8% a year every year I wait. So
yes, sir.
I'll probably try to let that build. It can do better than I could do anywhere. But my annuity, I haven't had it a lot of it's through work. So when I retire, I have to do something with it. And a friend of mine took the lump sum, and he said he lost 18%. Hmm. I assume that was taxes. It could have been penalties. I don't know, but I would like to know what's the best move for me to do with that annuity so that I don't lose money and maybe it can continue to grow, and where to put it and how to keep from losing the 18% he lost.
Yeah. Well, there should be a fairly simple solution to that, and that is, you know, if you take the lump sum option and it's in a tax deferred annuity, meaning it went in pre-tax, you should be able to roll it out to an IRA. An individual retirement account, which is not a taxable event. And so as long as you leave it in the IRA, you could reinvest it at that point, and you're only going to pay tax as you take the money out. Beyond 59 and a half, there shouldn't be any penalty, so it would just be taxable at whatever the prevailing tax rate is for that calendar year. But again, you could push all that down the road by just rolling it to an IRA. I think the question is, what's better, the monthly payment or the lump sum payout? Again, staying inside the IRA, and it could go either way. You know, I think having an advisor help you compute the internal rate of return on the income stream if you take the annuity versus the lump sum. I prefer the lump sum just because it gives you access to the money if you need it. And if you don't need it because you're living modestly and your pension plus your Social Security, when you take it, covers all of your expenses, then you could just let it continue to grow and start giving it away or leave it as an inheritance or both. And you'd have access to that money, you know, for throughout the rest of your life, and then you could pass it to the next steward. So I like that. The only downside might be sometimes that a lump sum just doesn't make sense in light of what they're willing to give you as a monthly payout. And so you'd need somebody to just kind of analyze both numbers and say, yep, the monthly makes a lot more sense and here's why, or no, we think the lump sum makes sense and, you know, here's our calculation. So I'd love to have an advisor walk you through that decision. But at the end of the day, if you decide to take the lump sum, you should be able to do it without creating a taxable event. Does that make sense?
It does. So I don't really know the differences in the IRAs. I know there's traditional and there's Roth, but what do I have to, if I take the lump sum and I put it in the bank and figure out what to do with it, or does I have to have an account set up for it to go directly to?
Yeah, so it would be a traditional IRA, not a Roth, just because if you put it into the Roth, you got to go ahead and pay the tax on it. And you would want to, if you decided you were going to have an advisor manage that for you, you'd want to pick that advisor first, because then he or she would open that IRA wherever they custody their client's assets, and then you'd just have it rolled over directly into that new account. Otherwise, if you're going to do it yourself, you'd open the IRA first, and then you'd roll the assets in. If you need an advisor, head to our website, faithfi.com. God bless you, sir. We'll be right back.
Today's issues.
Blaming a gun for a violent crime or a murder is like blaming the pencil for a misspelled word.
Mm. Ooh, I like that.
That would be like a student who he does terrible on spelling, and he says...
We've had a rash of pencil-oriented mistakes.
Misspell words.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
From a staunch atheist to a devout defender of faith, C.S. Lewis's life and legacy continues to surprise and inspire audiences today, just as they did in his own time. I'm David Wolin with Haven Today. Join me all week for a series called The Legacy of Lewis.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's go right back to the phones to Lakeland, Florida. Hi, Clinton. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I'm calling because I really needed your help. It's more so about the whole life insurance policies that I've been introduced to, and I've been told that there's a whole life insurance policy that you can buy and also use it to save. And as you save on it, you're able to basically, with time, you're able to even borrow against it. So it's like it's a two-in-one. What do you think about that? Is it a legitimate thing?
Well, it is legitimate, but I'm just not a big fan of it for most people. I mean, there are some situations where you need permanent insurance. Could be for a buy-sell agreement for a business that you have, could be for a lifelong dependent. But for most people who are just looking to save and invest and also make sure they have appropriate life insurance coverage in the event that you pass away and you have somebody who's depending upon your income, who would face a hardship in the event that you, at your death, your income goes away. You can solve for those things separately, I believe, more effectively than you can in a combined product like whole life insurance, because whole life insurance is life insurance with a savings vehicle. And you're correct, it is 2-in-1. And you are correct that you do have the ability to borrow from these policies. However, they tend to have higher costs, smaller death benefits because of the higher costs, and lack of investment control. But a lot of folks like them because they're permanent. And if you have a reason to have a permanent policy, you know, that can make some sense. And then, again, you can borrow against the cash value. So what would I prefer for most people? Well, when you separate these two things, then what you would do is you'd say, okay, for my insurance coverage, I'm going to buy life insurance. I'm going to buy pure insurance, and that's really term insurance. It's the most cost-effective. It might be 1/5 of the premium of a whole life policy, and you're just offsetting the risk based on the mortality tables of your age and health status and the amount of coverage you need. And the idea is that you never collect on it and you only have it during your working years. And then when you stop working because you've saved enough in the way of assets, you drop the policy and you don't need it anymore. Because if you were to pass away, it doesn't create any hardship at all for any kind of dependent like a spouse. And then with your savings, you save in other vehicles, namely company-sponsored retirement plans or IRAs or real estate or all three of those. And you do that without limiting your upside. Yes, you assume some downside risk if the market declines, the housing market, the stock market, the bond market. But what we see is that over the long haul, that is 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you're going to do really well by taking advantage of the high highs, even counting the low lows. You know, you should grow your wealth over time and not pay as much in the way of fees, have more control over the investments, have greater access to the money. Whereas with an insurance product, you know, you're going to have not as good of options in those three areas: cost, flexibility, and access to the funds. So for those reasons, Clinton, unless you have an unusual situation, you know, like I mentioned, with a needing a buy-sell agreement on a business or a lifelong dependent, I would not advise whole life insurance for the average person. But I've given you a lot of information. Does that make sense to you?
I mean, it does, very much so, yeah. I think you've blown it out of proportion, but I appreciate it because it opened up more for me to understand where someone would come from to say they do not, they are against it. So yes. I understand it. So I appreciate it so much.
Absolutely, Clinton. Well, God bless you, and thanks for calling. If I can serve you in any other way in the future, don't hesitate to reach out. Let's go to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hi, James. Thanks for your call, sir. Go ahead.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you.
Yes, I was calling. I have a mortgage and have 4 years to pay left on it. And the balance on it is about $25,000. And my mortgage payment is about $1,000 a month. I'm saying, how can I pay it off in 2 years or less?
Yeah. Yeah, very good. What I would do, James, is I would just go to your internet search engine and type in mortgage payoff calculator, and you'll find 100 of them. Bankrate.com has a good one, by the way. And what you can do is you can put in your current balance, and you can put in your current interest rate, and you can put in the length of payback that you want. And then you can solve for, when you click the button, what do I need to send every month? And it will actually calculate the amortization to tell you, here's exactly what you need to send every month in order to pay this off in however many months or years you would like to do that. Now, the only question I would have is, once you have that information, let's just make sure that's the best place to use your excess surplus. And the only thing that I would say comes before that is, one, if you have any high interest credit card debt, I'd pay that off first. Number two is, if you don't have an emergency fund of, I'll say, a minimum of 3 months worth of expenses, I'd probably put that before the house, just because as soon as you put that money on the house, it's not very accessible. And if you have an unexpected expense, I don't want you to have to fall back on the credit cards if you don't have any emergency savings. But assuming you're putting money in and taking advantage of any matching in your 401k, assuming you don't have any high interest credit card debt, assuming you've got some emergency fund in place, then I love the idea of you getting this $25,000 on your home paid off, because that's going to eliminate that $1,000 a month and put that back into your budget. That's great. You're going to save the interest on the money that you still owe. And that free mortgage calculator, any one of 100 of them that you'll find online, will help you determine exactly what you need to send every month in order to accomplish your goal. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Is there any other questions you have?
No, that was it.
All right. You're very welcome. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Renee. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm currently looking for some advice. I recently been laid off of my job. I am married. My husband works full time. We own our home, but we're still paying on the mortgage. But we have over $40,000 worth of credit card debt. And I do have a little money in a 401k savings that's probably about $43,000. And when he retires, he'll receive a pension, and I think I'll get one too. But my question is, I'm not sure when I'm going to go back to work and if I'm going to find work quick enough to get back on track with paying down cards. But my question is, like, should I use my 401k to pay down, like, all of our debts so that we can start off, like, zero and then, you know, build back up once I find a job?
Yeah. You know, I would say, Renee, it should be a last resort. And here's why. Most often it sounds good, and I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying this is generally what I see, is that we say, okay, I want to take the pressure off. So I'm going to pull the money out of the 401k, which, by the way, is expensive money in the sense that if you're under 59 and a half, you're going to have a 10% penalty, and then it's all going to be added to your taxable income. So you're probably talking a minimum of 32% coming right off the top. So if you pull $43,000 out of your account and you're going to pay 32%, that's $13,760. So now all of a sudden your $43,000 just became $29,000. And so you're giving a lot of that money away to the IRS, number one. Number two, it's not there to continue to grow for your future. And number three, and this is perhaps the most significant of the reasons why I wouldn't do it, is because that quick fix is not going to correct the problem that likely led to the credit card debt in the first place, which generally is lifestyle spending beyond your means. And I'd rather you do the hard work to right-size the budget, eliminate unnecessary spending today, cut back everything that you can. I mean, we're canceling subscriptions and we're eating at home. And I mean, it's not going to be pleasant, but we do that to get expenses down, to free up margin so that you can attack the credit cards. But you're doing it in such a way that when you're done, you've got habits that have been formed that are going to ensure that you never get back in that situation again. And my experience is that when you wipe it out with a 401k and you take the kind of the easy way out, number one, it's expensive. But number two is we don't kind of form the new habits. And then 6 months later, you're going to call me and say, guess what? Credit card debt's back. And now it's 20 grand. And so I would rather you not do that. Now, here's the one exception. I realize you just lost your job. So here's my question for you. Given the income that you have today, if you guys did some serious work on trimming your budget, do you even have the ability to continue to keep these credit card minimum payments current with the income you have today?
Yes, I believe at least up until June, I'll be able to keep up with the minimum payments, or else my husband will have to take on like 4 hours at work in order to make up for the income that we won't have.
Yeah, but June is right around the corner. Do you think he has the ability to take on the extra work? Is that available to him?
It is available to him, but he, you know, kind of doesn't want to put that amount of pressure on his body, but he is willing to do it.
Okay, and are you actively looking for a job?
I am.
Okay, so here's what I would do. I would rather you leave that 401k right where it is And I'd rather you call my friends at Christian Credit Counselors. You'll find them on the web at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They'll work up a budget for you. They'll get those interest rates on those credit cards cut in half. He takes on some extra hours until you get a job. You get that job, we're going to trust the Lord for it. And when you do, you pick up those payments. We'll get that paid off 80% faster, and we'll keep that 401k. That's my best advice. We're going to pray for you in this process, Renee. That's going to do it for us. I'm grateful for my team, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.